This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. It's crazy. We are, it's Wednesday, but it was the longest 2 days ever. 3 days now. But we're back here. It does feel like a Friday, but it's not. I hate to let you guys down there. Great to be here with you on a Wednesday morning, a victory Wednesday morning. Needed a laugher. Got a laugher. And the blood pressure stayed really low last night. Really, really low. And it feels good. Got to admit it. Got a lot to talk about from that game, though, certainly. I mean, man. Interesting topics on the table this morning on the Ben and Woods program. I am Woodsy. That is Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer of the show. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Get all dialed in over there.
Working on it.
All right, we got a new computer at work, and you guys know anytime you get a new computer, you got to go back and fix all your settings, and you got to do all your logins, and
you get so comfortable.
Yes,
how everything's dialed in.
Once you're dialed,
It's like I come in and I was told yesterday, hey, we're gonna have a new computer. I'm gonna do it before you even get in.
Yeah,
you won't even know. I'm like, oh, awesome, and I'm very thankful because it looks like it's running
great. Yeah.
But, like, bro, even just signing into, like, Google Chrome
to
get your passwords, your bookmarks, your history, all that stuff to make life easier that you're so accustomed to, you're like, oh, why isn't this working?
And
these little preferences.
You should see my phone in the notes section. It's just filled with passwords. And I know that a lot of things keep passwords for you now, but it's for instances like this where I always forget a certain one or two that can really, really derail your day. Benjamin Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. Yeah, I keep my passwords on a list in my notes app.
Yep, me too.
I don't call it passwords in case anyone gets in my phone to throw them off the scent. Unfortunately, I've forgotten what I called it, so now I can't find it again.
You keep it in one file?
I keep it in a file in my notes on my phone, and I forgot what I called the file because I didn't want to call it passwords because that's poor internet security.
It's very obvious.
But now I'm trying to remember what I called it.
Favorite golf holes. All his passwords.
What did I call it?
7-iron-69.
Spreadsheet.
Spreadsheet!
Something really boring. Like, no one wants to look at no one ever likes to look at a spreadsheet, right? That's the last thing anyone would want to look at. So I called it spreadsheet.
I have weird bit ideas that I put in my phone, and then I'll go back and look at them like 6 months later, and I'll go, oh God, no, that's, you know, from Ambien, I'll be like, I got an idea. I'll look at him and go, what? What am I talking about? Nude balloon throwing? Like, we're obviously not going to do that. I mean, maybe we could, the Christmas show or something, but I get these weird ideas and I just pop them in my phone. I don't write a lot. I wish I did. Everybody says, like, hey, yeah, you should be keeping a journal. Everyone should journal, you know, journal about their feelings, journal about their hopes, their dreams, put it on paper, put it on your computer. I just can't bring myself to do it. I have probably 20 journals that I started. It just stops. It's so hard to be consistent in life, and especially with that. But Paulie, I'm glad you're dialed in. I'm glad we got a new computer. We have a new vending machine here too. Got to look at that this morning.
Well, I gotta go take a look.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's got different things in it. There's a cheesesteak in there, a Philly cheesesteak in there, which again, yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, the vending machine says smart choices. Yet in there, I see Reese's peanut butter cups,
smart
cheese steak.
Smart.
I mean, all various candy bars of different sizes. I don't know how many smart choices are actually sodas. Like, why would you call your vending machine smart choices and fill it with a bunch of junk food?
Because I think, yeah, maybe smart's not the right. Maybe that's just the name of the company.
I would assume.
So, but I saw some good items in there. Now, I did see, and I was excited because they have little protein shakes in there. And I was like, hey, man, sometimes I get
smart choice.
And I forget, that would be a smart choice. But the flavor, I go, what is it? It's cafe au lait. Like, I just give me vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, and we'll call it a day. You don't have to get fancy. I don't need cookies and cream for my protein. I don't need mint chocolate chip. I don't need anything but the regular. So now we got to burn through all the cafe au lait's to get to put in a request. Can we get vanilla or strawberry? Or
the worst is when they have different flavors in the same slot, though.
Yeah, you then you're screwed. Yeah, flavor, you're done. You have to buy three.
You've got to wait until two other people buy one. bought all three to get three. One.
Who are you talking to? You know I have. You know I have. That cheesesteak, I will say, on the packaging looked pretty good. It looked pretty good.
I've actually bought those before. They have them at Costco.
Yeah.
My kids
the
want
brand?
It. Yeah, the brand.
Okay.
So, you know, you can pop them in a air fryer or a microwave for a couple of minutes, and they're not horrible, actually.
Yeah, I mean, don't look that bad.
Texture-wise, you're not going to get the best version out of a microwave, obviously, but
can I tell
I'm a
you,
fat boy. I'm an effing fat boy.
Can I tell you the worst mistake of my life when I was a kid? I was probably 14. And it's not the worst mistake of my life. That was an exaggeration. I've made many, many, many worse mistakes. Do you guys remember Steak-ums?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Remember Steak-ums, right?
Yeah.
Strips of beef that look like bacon, basically. Now, I would see the commercials and go, I'm in. Oh, God.
The commercials made you want Steak-ums.
You would die.
I think they played a lot, like during the afternoon cartoons and stuff.
Yes,
I don't know if they were trying to get kids to tell their mom buy Steak-ums at the store.
That's exactly what happened. Now, because here's the thing that you remember this growing up. Now, unless you grew up in Philly or New York or whatever, the steak sandwich was not something that mom ever made. Never. My mom was never like, "Hey, we're gonna have steak sandwiches tonight, right? You got your meatloaf, you got your spaghetti, you got your chicken and mashed potatoes, whatever.
Pork chops occasionally.
Yeah. But never was mom said, "Hey, we're doing steak sandwiches." Never. Never once. So you'd see the commercial and go, "I gotta have it. I gotta have a Steak-ums." So I remember vividly at like 12, 13, going to the store and be like, "Mom, I want these." And she's like, "All right, get whatever you want." Grabbing the box, throw it in the thing. Getting it home and realizing it's not a sandwich. It's just the meat. I remember taking it out and being like, "Woo! Finally! I finally got it! I got me some Steak-ums." Open up the box. Where's the bread? It's just the meat? They just gave me the meat. They didn't give me the actual sandwich. I remember being so disappointed and livid. Then cooking it up and just eating it like this, like six strips of bacon. I was so mad.
But
I was like,
"Way worse than bacon." I mean,
way worse than bacon. I was like, "Dude, this is malpractice. This is advertising malpractice."
I will say that we often complain about how things were better back in the day.
Yeah,
like I'm a nostalgia for the good old days of everything. Food is so much better now than it was 20, 30 years
like
ago.
In Paul, every sense.
You don't even know.
Yeah,
I mean,
dude.
We had no options. We just had, you know, my mom was a good cook, and we had the same thing, you know, meatloaf one night.
Yep.
We had, you know, pork chops one night. It was good, but there were, you know, all the different cuisines from different countries. There wasn't a lot of options, at least growing up here, you know, North County, San Diego. They're just, you know, you go out for pizza every once in a while, or, you know, there weren't even that many taco shops around. It was hard to find decent food. Now, it's food all over the place.
You think about it back in the day, Paulie, it was you get pizza delivered or you get Chinese food. Those are the only two options that deliver ever. Now, you had to go pick up stuff. But, yeah, you didn't have 100 different things that you could choose from on a nightly basis.
Right.
Like, I don't even know if sushi existed back when I was a kid. I never
saw it. Obviously,
it
existed, but not in any meaningful way. Anyone could go get sushi for dinner, nor would they have, because they would have thought, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It just would have been so unappealing to the American palate in like the 70s and the 80s. Why would you open one of those?
I do like the nostalgia talk. It does bring me back to the summers of my youth, certainly, but that vivid memory I have of thinking that I was going to pull that box open, Ben, pull out a big fat steak. Now, when I saw the box, I go, "That's very thin." Very thin. Maybe the bread will expand in the oven. I have no idea. But I remember pulling it out and going, knowing full well my parents didn't have hoagie rolls at home. So, yeah, if I did eat it on bread, it was, you know, some wheat bread. But it's not the same. It doesn't look the same as a commercial. And, you know, speaking of summer, my oldest, my beloved Bo Woods, today is his last day as a first grader.
Wow.
And if he's listening right now, I just want to tell him how proud I am of him. He crushed it this year. started off the year a little dicey, a little nervous. I went yesterday after the gym. They were having their end of the school year party, and they do it at Orpheus Park. You know Orpheus Park? Beautiful. Parents came, kids were playing tug of war, dodgeball. Bo wanted me to come and play football with him and his friends, and I was all-time quarterback. I'm going to tell you right now, I chewed those kids up. I think I had maybe two incomplete passes, probably 17, 18 touchdowns. I couldn't have been more dialed. Four-on-four football, and I was all-time QB. But going there to see him, when I walked up, him, his big group of buddies, playing, having a ball, it warmed my heart so much. And I grabbed him, and I told him, not how you start. And he goes, it's how you finish. And I said, you just crushed it this year, dude. And now you finished first grade, and now you're about to be a second grader.
Not to spin him out, but I do feel like there's a big step up from first to second.
There is. Oh, absolutely.
Kindergarten, it gets a little more serious. I mean, yeah, it definitely is different, but first grade's kind of like advanced kindergarten. Like, we're just getting you ready for school in first grade. Second, third grade, you're kind of in the middle, but you're starting now. Okay, yep. Now this is real school.
Fourth
now.
Is when it gets legit. Yeah. And then fourth is when
third grade for me was like it definitely ramped up, and then fourth grade, like,
you're a professional student once you're in fourth grade.
You're in fourth grade, it's
double
like,
digits, man. You're 10 years old.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm just so proud of him, dude. I'm so proud of him. He really had a tough start to the year. He really did, and he was not wanting to go to school, and he was like, you know, scared and. It started, you know, he's at a new school too. So, like, he was just kind of a little shy about it. And, man, to walk up to the park yesterday and see him, all right, let's go. We're going to go here. And I'm like, oh, my little guy is growing up. So, I'm very proud of him for his graduation of first grade, which I did not believe in until I had kids, by the way. Didn't believe in it. Now I want the full, they're not doing it. They're not doing the full ceremony. So, I'm going to yank him out of school on his last day a little bit early. Taking him down to the Padres game today. So if you see us, make sure to say hello. Would love to say hi. And I'm just really, really proud of him, dude. He just crushed it.
Is he gonna have time to sign his yearbook and everything?
So did you know that they don't let him sign anymore?
Really?
He got a yearbook, but they don't let him sign anymore. And I don't know why. My guess maybe is distracting, takes up too much time, they get too silly. Number two, maybe somebody gets left out, right? I remember wanting to get my yearbook.
Like, in general, there's just no signing yearbook.
At least in his class. I asked my...
In first grade, I'd be less worried about, like, bad words and slurs at that point.
Have you met my son, who's 7?
He is a Woods.
He is a Woods, after all. Yeah. So I asked her, I go, why do you think that is? And she said, I don't know. Maybe it was just his class. Maybe they just didn't have a day to sit down and, you know, sign it and all that. But it was we all remember. It could get kind of stressful, right? Like, a little bit. Like, don't forget to sign my yearbook. I was like, I don't want to sign. I was the concierge
for me,
even
felt
back
more
then.
Like a factory. Everyone was just like, one, boom, two, three, boom, 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 boom. Just boom. Make sure you get everyone, and then you were done with it.
Yeah,
and you really didn't look at least those pages again.
What a fun year! Have a great summer. Yeah.
See
what
you around
a fun
the
year. Have a great summer.
See you around the pool, maybe. Right? Like,
for your best friends, you might write a little bit extra, but that's about it.
Woodsy, keep ripping it up on the Terminator. See you around the pool. That's exactly a quote I got from my buddy.
Amber, it was so much fun hanging out this year. Hope to see you this summer.
Amber. No, Amber. I really hope to see you around this summer.
That's all I'm going
to
be thinking about,
Amber. Hang out with Amber?
Did you hang out with Amber?
Did you really get to hang out with Amber?
Maybe.
I had a summer of Amber myself, if you don't mind me saying so. Woo! The good old days, they were.
Have a great summer, Mike.
Yeah. See you, bud. Hit me up.
Adio, literally just sign your name.
Adio says, what is the next milestone that will make you ugly cry? Transition to middle school? No, dude. It'll happen in like 2 weeks. I mean, honestly, I still am a very emotional dad. Both my kids make me, I just get overwhelmed sometimes. Sometimes out of love and sometimes out of disdain. Yeah, like, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. They make me nuts. They're fighting all the time now, but man, it's the ride is so, so good. Dean says, my son's kindergarten graduation is this Saturday. I'm not ready for it. You won't be. You won't be. Any pageant I've ever gone to in the last few years, I mean, I'm sitting there convulsing, and Hannah's like, pull it together, dude. And I'm like, just weeping.
I will say the biggest difference that I've seen in how schools operate now, and even when I was in school, you know, 25 years ago now, like, it was not a big deal whatsoever going from first grade to second grade,
yeah,
or third grade to fourth grade. It was, because I went to the same elementary school K through six, then middle school was seventh and eighth. Now, graduating elementary school and moving on to middle school, that's a big deal. Finishing eighth grade and getting ready for high school, big deal.
Oh, man.
And they had like a little bit of a ceremony, but like now there's promotion, yeah, events and full ordeals for moving from like second to third grade, and I think it's great. Celebrate every moment you can.
Yeah,
but like that was so not a thing.
They're not doing that this year. They haven't. They're not doing like where they get their little cap. I wish they would do the cap and gown. I think it's the most adorable thing of all time.
I've said it before, but I went to year round school when I was in elementary, yeah, school. So we'd finish, you know, late June on a Friday, second grade. And then Monday, we'd show up in third grade.
It's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Same class, just different teacher,
that's
different room.
That's the craziest
room,
thing I've ever
we'd
heard.
We'd all just move in, you know, that's as a herd over to the next grade level.
Was that for,
know,
like, super smart kids, or was that,
no,
for everybody?
No, it was everyone. Everyone was on a different track. It was A, B, C, or D, so you had different...
What does that mean?
So everyone had a different schedule. I was on track D, which meant we had,
who decides?
I don't know. When you started school, like in kindergarten and first grade... You got on a track, and you had certain teachers were the track D teachers, so you'd go from one teacher to the next, and you had different times of the year off. So there was always one quarter of the school was on vacation. I remember we were off in 3 weeks in August, 3 weeks in November, like 3 weeks in February, and 3 weeks in May or something. And that was, instead of a summer, we had it spaced out throughout the year, which wasn't...
Hey,
not the worst idea, yeah, ever, but it's weird when you're just going, all right, June 28th, it's Friday. Hey, it was a great school year.
See you Monday.
We'll see you on Monday as we move up to third grade,
bro,
or fourth grade and different teacher. And 1 year I had the same teacher for fourth grade and fifth grade. So we moved up. It was the same class, same teacher. 1 weekend later, there was literally like no difference to start a new school
year. That's not the worst thing I've ever heard. And as a parent, I'm all for it. As a parent, I'm like, great, great. But, you know, the teachers need a break, too. And like you said, they get those built in. But that's actually not a terrible idea, Benny. Man, I'm just happy for him. I just, again, knowing what he kind of went through at the beginning of the year to get through to where he is now, just very proud. Very, very proud. Excited to go to the game with him today. Hannah's taking Tay-Tay to the fair, so they're going to rage. So, I mean, it's a great day in the Woods family. Great night to be a great day to be a Padres fan today. That was a hell of a win last night. We got a lot to talk about, but man, it was great.
We have a lot to talk about. We also have a lot to do.
We have a
lot
to do.
I will explain to you after we check traffic and get to the setting of the menu for a Wednesday edition of Ben and Woods. Let you know what's coming up after Kelly here on 97.3 The Fan. So obviously we'll talk a lot of Padres Dodgers, and we will wrap up yesterday's 11-1 win coming up in our next segment, and all of our usual features on a Wednesday as well. We'll pay off the incorporator from Jesse. That's all coming up between now and 10 o'clock. I need to ask Paulie, though. I've never seen a rundown like this from you in terms of giveaways. Do we need like a phrase that pays or something? We have tickets. We're going to be giving away tickets.
Whatever
most
you
of the
want,
show,
we got
feels
them.
Like.
Whatever
we've got,
you want.
Padres Royals tickets. We've got George Lopez tickets. We've got Scotty McCreary tickets to Front Wave Arena. We've got a qualifier, of course, for our grand prize. We're pretty much just the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes this morning.
It's a ticket giveaway show with a little bit of baseball,
a little bit of chat in between.
Yeah.
How about
yeah.
we just give them,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because we're going to be giving them out all morning long here on 97.3 The Fan.
Broadcasting live. God, I thought about it all day. If you missed it yesterday in our program, yesterday was our sixth anniversary of the Ben and Woods show on Odyssey, or on 97.3 The Fan. It was Entercom when we got here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were a radio.com website.
Radio.com website, that's right. And we, yesterday again, 6 years together here at 97.3 The Fan. We had had the run at the station, the other station where we started. I didn't know this. I forgot that was the number. And Adam got a little bit upset that we don't celebrate it with the same vigor in which we celebrate literally everything else. And I questioned myself yesterday a lot. I said, well, why don't we?
I think you've forgotten this one every year.
I think I have, and I wonder why that is. It's not. It's certainly not personal. It's not.
You get
like,
to March, and you may not know the exact date. You may have to ask that one every year. But you're like end of March. You know that was the show inception.
Yeah. Because I mean, my son had just been born. You know, and now he's going to be a second grader. and I wondered, like, why don't we celebrate 6 years at Odyssey together?
Broadcasting. And that is a key word.
Live. What does that mean? Oh, because we got to broadcast because we were streaming
for months without an over-the-air signal.
Streaming still broadcasting?
No, broadcasting implies you are actually, you don't have to do anything. Like the signal actually goes out over the air to everybody. That's a broadcast. A stream is a stream. It's more of a narrow cast.
Yeah, fair. I'll give you that. But
no, that is a definition.
Like, I always think it's funny when I hear like straight podcast, not, you know, a radio show that becomes a podcast. Like,
right.
It acts just an only a podcast.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we're on the air. I'm like, well,
you're not on the
you're
air.
Actually not.
Because you can go in there. You can say the worst thing you've ever said and go, can we take that out? And you absolutely can take it out. Like me, I can't do that. We can dump stuff, but we can't take it out.
Yeah, there's literally a signal in the air.
Yeah.
You can't see it, you can't feel it, but our radio station sends out a signal through the air that can be picked up by, you know, radios throughout the market. And, you know, everything else streaming, they're not broadcasting, they're not over the air.
Right.
Now, does it really matter in the end? You're still listening, however you're listening, on some sort of device at the end of the platform. And it used to mean obviously a whole lot more because you didn't have streaming, and you had if in order to be heard you had to be broadcast somewhere because people didn't have other ways to pick up frequencies and stations. Now there's millions of different ways to do it, so it's, you know, the line has become blurred, but there is a definition to broadcasting, and that is an important part of it.
It was a little nerdy, but I remember at the old station, you know, it was a 50,000-watt signal.
Massive.
I mean, that thing was a blowtorch.
They called it a stick.
Yeah.
Blowtorch, stick, all
it
these things you
insane.
Heard.
It was insane. And I was able to, like, see exactly, like, how clear it was coming in
Canada.
Santa Barbara, and then up to the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, they can actually pick us up off the coast of Oregon.
Crazy.
Like,
Canada?
The way that it travels over the water,
weather.
Fishermen in the Pacific, they would love sports talk radio.
Yeah, dude.
One guy called in from Alaska one time.
It's amazing.
He's like, I got you guys loud and clear.
Maybe
like,
you guys,
what?
Maybe you pay your bills. How about that? You ever think of that? Just pay your bills? That's not inflating your salary and pay your bills, for the love of God. And now that stick sits there, and who knows what it is at this point. But yeah, 6 years, Adam, it's not personal. We just, I don't know. Maybe part of it, too, is you get celebration fatigue. We celebrate a lot of stuff. And, you know, we celebrate summer break. We celebrate the Christmas and holiday show. We celebrate a lot. Opening day. Maybe it's just that weird time of year where we don't feel like celebrating. Paulie celebrates Memorial Day like a madman.
I almost didn't really feel like celebrating last night's win over the Dodgers.
How come?
I don't know. There's something about that game. It just felt
it was ugly.
Wrong.
It was
it
felt wrong.
Wrong.
Dirty.
And we'll talk about it coming up next. Get to our Padres wrap up. All the highlights, obviously, you're not turning down any wins against the Dodgers,
nope.
That's for sure. We'll get into the 11-1 romp at Petco Park last night. Good Wednesday morning to everybody. Happy end of first grade to Bo. It's Ben and Woods and Paulie on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First up this morning, though, Woods and I want to tell you about trust and will. Again, we've seen so many people in our YouTube stream, Tier 1s, who have said, wish I had known about this before. Hey, I just went through this with my family. We had to go to probate court. It was expensive. It was time consuming. I wish my family member had just gotten a trust or a will to take care of this. And you can do that simply, easily, online at trustandwill.com.
Yes, you can. All you have to do is go to trustandwill.com, answer the questions, the prompts, have your information, you know, ready and handy, and have an idea of what you want to accomplish when you go in there. Certainly, you know, this is who gets my kids if something happens. This is who gets my you know, record collection, whatever it may be. They're going to ask you all that. It takes about 20 to 30 minutes. And once you're done, use the code FAN when you check out, F-A-N. You're going to get 20% off. And they'll ship you your estate documents for free.
The peace of mind is worth it.
Ask really Dominic is. In the chat every single day. He says, get a trust, folks. Stay out of probate. Yeah, listen to Dominic. Listen to the Tier 1s. Listen to Ben and Woods. Go to TrustandWill.com. Get 20% off. Skip the lawyer's office. 20% off with the code FAN at TrustandWill.com. This hour, Ben and Woods, brought to you by Staples. Now, when I was setting the menu a moment ago, you may have noticed something was missing that you usually get on a Big League Wednesday. Paulie had a bunch of irons in the fire. For whatever reason, didn't work out. We don't have a Big League Wednesday guest lined up for today. And if you join our program regularly, we try to have a former or current major leaguer baseball player on throughout the summer on Wednesday. Have a bunch of different guys, friends of the program. Last week we had Tim Flannery on. He was fantastic.
We did it differently this year. Like last year it was Brett Boone and Adam Jones every week. And then this year we're like, it was kind of a challenge. We're like, let's go every week with a, you know, we'll have some rollover, some, you know, we'll get Skip Schumacher on again at some point. I don't know why Ben just left our YouTube stream.
Didn't touch anything.
I did think though, at the beginning of the year when we came up with this idea, I go, I wonder how long it'll take. How long can we go before we get to a week where we're like, we got nothing?
Yeah, and we got there.
Got but about I mean, halfway through the season.
It wasn't nothing. It was not for a lack of effort. Sometimes things just don't work out. It's no big deal.
Paulie's killed it this year.
Yeah.
You know, booking guests.
And we got a lot of cool things coming, too, by the way.
Yeah, we do. And our, you know, I don't care. I mean, guests are fine, but I'm fine to just shoot the breeze with you guys. I mean, I'll take callers from Potter. You know, we can take callers, do whatever we want. It's our fun show.
But I have no idea if this is going to work out, but we have a very strong Tier 1 audience out there, and there are some people I know.
Yeah. I get texts from them.
Who played Big League Baseball, who listen to the show. So here's the deal.
The challenge.
We need a Big League Wednesday guest.
Need a Big Leaguer.
If you're listening to this program, or you know someone who listens and can give them a text, I want you to call us today. Well, in fact, you can do it right now. Paulie, we can look at the phone screener. We're looking for a former Big Leaguer. I don't care if you got a cup of coffee.
Yeah, one day.
In the show. And you can share your story, because we're fascinated by anyone. As Manny and Schilty like to point out, you wouldn't even fill half of Petco Park with every player that has played in the history of Major League Baseball. We're looking for one of you.
Blows my mind.
Out there. And if you played Major League Baseball and you listen to this program, give us a call. 833-288-0973. Paulie will do some screening and hopefully we'll set you up for later in this program as our Big League Wednesday guest. Now, I'd like it to almost be a surprise us if we find someone. Paulie sets it up and we'll just bring you on and it'll be like mystery guest for us on a Big League Wednesday.
Or if you know a big leaguer, you be the producer. You tell them to call in to Ben and Woods.
Exactly.
Yeah, you get a friend who's a big leaguer. Hey, I listen to this radio show. They're looking for a big league guest. No, I didn't do much in the big leagues.
Doesn't matter.
We don't care.
One
we want to know your story. We want to know your story.
Have you not? If you've been listening to us for several years at this point, you know those are our favorite guys.
It's the best kind. The Brian O'Grady's of the world.
Yes.
Absolutely. He's doing great, by the way. I texted with him recently. Got two kids, two beautiful kids.
What team is he playing for now?
I don't think he's playing.
I saw him hit a home run the other day.
What's he talking about?
It's an independent ball somewhere, something.
Recently?
The Gastonia somethings or other, I think is what it was. I forget, but you know, hey, that dream dies hard.
It does, dude.
When you want to be a big leaguer. But let's talk about what happened in the last night's game. Get to our wrap up, all the highlights. Maybe Paulie can help me fix my camera. Don't know what's wrong with it, but we'll get to that coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
Oh, yes.
It's the
Padres wrap-up.
Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
I want to go fast, but I want to go slow, and I want to go deep.
The Padres have slayed the dragon again.
Started and stopped. Arise hits it into right field with a base hit. It's down the line. Fernando rounding second on his way to third. Hernandez gets to it. Tim Leifer going to wave him. Here is the relay from Tommy Edman, and it is not in time. RBI double Luis Arise. Padres strike first. It's 1-0. And he swings, loops it into right center field. Páez over, not going to get there. Drops down to the base hit. That'll get Arise home from second. Manny Machado, an RBI single, and it's 2-0. Here's a 2-0 pitch. Merrill swings, hits it hard over Freeman down the right field line. Now it's Manny's turn to burn around the bases. On his way to third, he's going to be waved. Hernandez just gets to it, sends it into Edmund. It'll roll to Freeman. Machado scores, and Merrill standing at third. It's an RBI triple and a 3-0 game. He's swung on and hammered to deep left field. Conforto will turn to watch this one. Gonna go! Oh, that is one sweet ambush against Matt Sauer. And Martin Maldonado, his third home run of the year, makes it 6-0. The 0-1 is lined into center field. That's a base hit. Arise has scored. Merrill speeding home. He will score as well. Xander Bogaerts adds on. A two-run single in the sixth, and the Padre lead is 9-0. And he swings and hits it in the air to deep left field. Conforto's back at the wall. It's off the wall. Both runs going to come in and score, and a big night for Manny Machado. A two-run single off the left field fence. The Padre lead is 11-0, and Manny with five RBIs. Conforto swings at the first pitch, lines it into left center field. That's going to get the first Dodger run of the night home as Rojas rounds third base. So there will be no shutout tonight. A little something to cheer for the folks in blue, and there aren't many of them left. 11-1 here in the eighth. 2-2 to Freeman. Morgan will deliver. And a ground ball off the mound goes to Bogaerts. He'll take it to second. One on to first in time. And a game-ending double play here in the top of the ninth inning. An absolute laugher against the Dodgers here tonight as Dylan Cease throws seven shutout innings. And the Padres put up 11 runs on 16 hits to beat the Dodgers by 10.
Like you say, never a bad time, but very timely for all the obvious reasons, right? But Dylan was really good. You know, we got into that starter seven inning spot that is really important to us, and obviously we were able to open it up with a lot of relentless at bats throughout, you know, top of the lineup carrying the weight for the most part down through bogey, but whole team effort. Maldi contributed the nine, but yeah, it was important.
That was a good one last night. I really enjoyed that very much.
You know what I really enjoyed? A non-stressful seventh, eighth, and ninth inning for once.
It wasn't stressful, but it was still wanted to turn it off.
Yeah,
It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. It really was. You can defend it all you want if you're a Dodger fan, and you will. And I saw you doing it last night. You loaded up your bong with a big, fat bowl of copium, and you just...
Big bomba class before boxing on your head.
I saw it, responded, we chatted about it. It's embarrassing. That was embarrassing, and you should be embarrassed if you're Dave Roberts today. You should be absolutely mortified.
He punted on the game.
There's the fifth?
Whatever you want to call it, you know, he knew going into the game, in my mind, that if this doesn't go well, I'm pulling the ripcord on this game, which, you know, you can argue may or may not be a valid strategy.
It is certainly a strategy. The guy punted in playoff games. Like he had to.
And it worked out for him.
It worked
last
out
year.
Really well. He won a World Series. Some of the best managing Dave has ever done, to be honest with you. And gave him a lot of credit for that. 100%. They had nobody and they were pieced together with scotch tape and bubblegum, man. And they got the job done. Those guys. Now, many of those guys aren't pitching this year because they let it all eat in October. And Who among us wouldn't be happy about that? But this is this one felt a little bit different last night, Benny. It did.
I certainly hope that the decision by Dave Roberts to do what he did and leave Matt Sauer, his bulk reliever, after the opener, Lou Trevino, out there to die on the vine with 111 pitches. I hope it backfires. And not because Matt Sauer gets hurt. I have no wishes toward Matt Sauer. He was put in a very bad situation by his manager. Probably knew it was coming. I think he talked about it after the game. He said, you know, that's what I was asked to do. I went out there, did the best I could, didn't pitch well, but I knew there was no help coming behind me. I just had to wear it. 111 pitches after he had never thrown more than 82, in a minor league game. If he's like your top prospect or something, that's malpractice.
Sure.
I think it's malpractice in general.
It's...
I would expect...
It's cold and cruel and heartless But in the big picture of Dodgers baseball, if Matt Sauer gets hurt because of that,
they don't care.
They'll shrug and move on.
They don't
it's
care.
It's a sad reality.
The players' union's going to care.
The players' union should care.
They should. Absolutely.
They absolutely should.
I would expect them to make calls today. I would be pissed off if I was in the players' union about that.
Or if I was Matt Sauer's agent.
This guy's not a starting pitcher. He's not built and built up to go that many pitches.
Well, he's thrown 82 pitches, I think was his max, and in the minors. And
did I say they didn't even have a mound visit? Like, they just left him out there to die.
Yeah, he kept looking over, honestly. Like, he looked like a little league, a little leaguer, like, Dad, are you coming to get me? Look, and they're like, no. And
I this hate is, that team.
Here's what bums me out. He waited. Dave waited. I tweeted it as a joke. I tweeted, oh, Dave Roberts wisely angling for the opportunity to go to Kike Hernandez here. Son of a bitch, if it didn't happen, just like I said it, they let that guy stand out there and give up those runs until they got to the magic number for Dave Roberts to go in and put
Kike. It almost seemed like he was happy that they gave up the nine. Like,
no question.
If the Padres really wanted to foil their plan, stay at seven and never let them go to a position player.
Boop,
yeah, if you, this boop. Is what you want to do, then we're just going to leave it at a seven-run lead where you're not allowed to bring in a position player to win that game. Of course they didn't. But I wish it. I hope it backfires in that Matt Sauer, I mean, he wasn't horrible. He struck out six. He had some decent stuff. The Padres still had to hit him. And sometimes hitting is weirdly contagious. And just the fact, I know it doesn't mean much. You're never going to see Matt Sauer in a playoff game, in a meaningful game.
Or maybe in another game ever again.
Or maybe ever again if you're the Padres. So you didn't beat the Dodgers best, obviously. It's not. This is not some referendum on Padres-Dodgers where they are at currently. But if the Padres can take the hitting momentum of yesterday, the day before, and get locked in for a couple of weeks at the plate when they have five more games against the Dodgers in the next week, then I will think that Dave Roberts will go, oh, should not have let that team get some confidence at the plate. They were struggling. They were scuffling.
Like,
and then
they were
dying. Came in and we let them score 18 runs in 2 days.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden everybody is tearing the cover off the ball. Maybe we shouldn't have let that happen. So cavalierly, is that the word?
Cavalierly.
Cavalierly in game two of the series at Petco Park.
Yeah, you know, and you say that, you know, we didn't beat their best. We didn't beat their best pitcher last night by any stretch, but they had their best lineup out
Dylan
there.
Dylan Cease beat their best.
Dylan Cease was fantastic. I kind of challenged him yesterday and said, like, you know, again, that sounds weird saying that. I challenged him. I'm a load. Dylan Cease is an all-world pitcher when he's got some of the best stuff in the business. But I said on the air, hey, man, we got to have it. We have to have it, and we have to have it tonight. And boy, did we get it.
So massive.
They ran out. They ran out there. Otani, Betts, you know, Freeman, Kike, or not Kike, Teoscar, Max Muncy, Páez, Conforto, Edmund, Dalton Rushing gets a start last night. One of my new arch nemesis from the Dodgers. One of my new fubsy little dude. Dylan Cease handled those cats last night. And like you said, hitting is contagious. And I think what you saw, one player in particular, man, he's been locked in, period. He's hitting everybody. But Jackson Merrill with a couple of ABs that I went, that's him. That's the guy I remember. That fastball in the outer half bend that a week ago he misses entirely or tries to pull it and rolls it over to the first or second baseman. He just goes, boop, slaps it in the left field for a knock, man. Phenomenal, phenomenal ABs early by the guys to get on the board, foot on the throat. Now, you want to pick it apart. We had bases loaded in back-to-back innings. We got one run out of it on a double play ball by Martin Maldonado. That stinks. That you got to clean that up. You got to find a way to scratch out at least a couple, two, three runs with an opportunity like that against that team. But all in all, I'm not going to sit in here and cry and pick apart an 11-1 victory, even though the last three innings were thrown by a position player. Again, I'm not going to come, and I'm also not going to come in and be, oh, the sanctity of the game and blah, blah, blah. Bro, he had pieces available. He had Ben Kasperius. Guess what? He didn't want to use him because he wants to use him today. He didn't use Michael Kopech. I wouldn't have used Michael Kopech either. He's coming off of an injury. But again, you gave up. You were down five. And I think about the Diamondbacks that were down six last week.
10-4.
10-4 with one out.
in
the ninth inning, and they came back and won that baseball game, and they don't have three MVPs at the top of their order like you do. So, look, I don't think it sends any message to the Dodgers clubhouse. They knew what was going on. I did think it was pretty, I don't want to say Bush League, it just wasn't enjoyable. It wasn't enjoyable at all, and I thought it was pretty tired to leave this guy out there. And then Dave Roberts, hiding in the dugout, back in the corner, had a tier one send me this picture. He goes, man, does this speak a thousand words? I said, it sure does. It sure does. Like, I felt really bad. I felt bad for Sauer. I thought that was really, really terrible. You had Jack Dreyer available. I mean, you had arms. It's not like you were... We have no one weekend pitch. We have to do this. And, yeah, there's Dave hiding in the corner. Couldn't even look the dude in the eye, man. I thought it was terrible. And then this kid, you know, this Sauer guy is on a plane, I'm sure, right now.
Yeah, that's your reward.
Your bags.
You took one. You stepped up and took one for the team.
Yep.
And your reward is going to be a plane ticket back to AAA.
And I don't know what it's set. I don't know if the Dodger clubhouse is like, man, that was pretty weak. I don't know how they feel. I don't. I don't know them well enough to know. But again, you know, you run that out there in the sixth inning. I thought that was just pretty weak. I thought it was weak. And I think Mike Schill probably thought it was weak, too.
I thought it was interesting to hear Don and Mudd, I think it was in the eighth inning, at least have the conversation of, like, should there be a mercy rule in Major League Baseball?
We've talked about it before.
And that makes sense for three idiots like us on the radio to be talking about. I was a little surprised to hear that. And they were just, you know, Mudd was like, look, I'm not advocating for it necessarily. I think it's worth having a conversation. And, I mean,
well, if you don't want to play... If you don't want to play, and Dave Roberts clearly didn't want to play, right? That's what that signals. When I put Kike Hernandez in the sixth inning, that means we're done for the night. We don't want to be here.
Right. And I'm like, so what is everybody else doing here?
And I'll tell you, somebody made a good point to me on text. They said, man, yeah, it's funny, it's cute when a position player pitches. He's up there throwing 42 miles an hour. Our guys are still taking hacks because why not? If you're going to do this, we're going to try to punish you. What happens if Manny tears an oblique swinging at a 42 mile an hour fastball? It's really not safe. It's not safe for Kike. It's not safe for the players.
That's why Kike wore a helmet.
That's why he wears a helmet. And I thought to myself,
it was funny,
man,
the first time when he's doing all the bits on the mound.
Tyler Wade pitched when the Padres got blown out in Toronto.
Yeah,
I mean, it happens. It happens. It's not ideal, but it was one inning. It was long. The game was long over. It wasn't the sixth inning. I saw some, you know, big league pundits. I think Ben Verlander said that he called it embarrassing. Will Myers said, you know, it's not a great look to be throwing a position player in the sixth inning.
That's the thing
of a game. You have paying customers, and I'm sure Padres fans don't care that much. Their team's winning, but
I watched every second.
How about Dodger? How about the Dodger fan who went on the secondary market, living up in, you know, Valencia, and paid $500 to bring their family down to Petco Park for one night, drove, you know, 3.5-4 hours in traffic and back, and that's the game they got to see their team play in San Diego?
Yeah,
I'm not going to feel bad for them, but I'm going to snicker a little bit and go, wow, that's kind of disrespectful to your own fan base who was at the game to put a position player in the sixth inning.
It was crazy, man. It was absolutely crazy. Elisa makes a great point. I mentioned it to you guys when you walked in. You know, Mike Schilt was not afforded that opportunity. Mike Schilt had to wait, if he wanted to, until the ninth inning, which is, hey, if you guys are going to Kike in the sixth, Schilt had to go through David Morgan for a couple of innings. David Morgan will be unavailable today. Mm-hmm. You know, you need a strikeout pitcher with 99-mile-an-hour heat to come in and get a big out in the eighth inning. It ain't going to be David Morgan today because we had to use him. We couldn't use Tyler Wade last night.
Should be fine, though, because there's a day off tomorrow. Everybody else is rested.
Sure.
You should be fairly well set for today, as the Dodgers are, and this game's going to be huge today now.
Yeah.
This is a referendum. Dodgers win. Dave Roberts
last is a
all
genius.
The way back to Los Angeles going, hey, that worked out exactly as we planned. We snuck two out of three wins, gave up on the other one, saved our bullpen. They will take that every day of the
every
week.
Day
the Padres
of the week.
Win, and they go, we could have won that series if maybe we had tried a little bit harder. I mean, this is a huge game in my mind today now.
I'm going to be honest with you. I expected a little more fight from the world champions. I did. I expected a little more fight from the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers last night. Maybe I'm built different. I don't know. That's just how I felt about it. I expected a little bit more fight. I thought that was pretty embarrassing. And listen, I'm not worked up about it. We won 11-1. It was fantastic. I would watch that game again this afternoon in person. Hopefully it happens again. But Yeah, man, I thought it was tired. I thought it was a real tired look.
One person who always fights is our Jesse Agler. Fights to get that incorporator word in. We will pay that off for you. Fubsy was the word last night.
Which Dodger was at the plate when he said it?
That's coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.